Welcome to the Word on the Street podcast. It's the Tuesday After Tough edition here, April 10th. Now it's April 10th now, the year 2000 in Chael. I'm your host here on the Word on the Street podcast. Also with me is a co-host, Jake from the MMA podcast. And we have the return of the Ninja here helping us out with the co-hosting duties. We'll also take a call later on from a very special guest here. But yes, we do have our living legend of a co-host here. He's been on every week with us since the show premiered. Coach Jamie, the living legend, Huey, on with us. How are you doing, Coach?
I'm doing good, fellas. How are you?
Great, great. And we also have a very special guest tonight on the Word on the Street podcast. It is Uriah Hall, Team Sonnen, a.k.a. Team Darkside Fighter. We saw him tonight take a victory over Dylan Andrews. He will be fighting in the finale this Saturday, the Tough 17 finale this Saturday, against fellow teammate Kevin Gastelum, who's been on the show before, twice actually. Now, before we ask Uriah a couple questions here, thank you both for your time. But Coach Huey, where are you right now? What's the word on the street? You're in Vegas right now, right?
We're at the Bellagio. Where are we? I'm standing right next to Uriah. We're about to get in a call. I think we're at the Bellagio, maybe. We just had a dinner with Dana. It was fun, man. We had all the guys from the team get together and had a dinner and, kind of, I guess our last little group together. And, it was fun to watch the show together. And so that's where we're at.
Oh, great. Yeah, it was pretty crazy. Real quick, they announced, of course, that, you know, Uriah, you're gonna fight Kelvin. And then they announced tonight, they put out the final card. Finally, they revealed who's going to fight who in the Tough finale as far as Team Sonnen versus Team Jones goes. And I just wanted to ask, because real quick, Coach Huey, what's the word on the street about Zach Cummings, Team Sonnen fighter? He's not on Saturday's fight card.
About a week ago, he was rolling with one of the guys, and he kind of tweaked his leg a little bit. He tore his hamstring slightly. He's okay. It'll heal. He'll be okay. But he's obviously out for that reason, and he was really disappointed. He wanted to fight, the bad news is Zach is out. He'll get another opportunity. The good news is we get to cheer for our guy, Clint, because obviously that's who, Zach would have been fighting. So, Zach will definitely be back, but good news is we get to root for Clint now.
Awesome. Now, Uriah Hall, first of all, congratulations, man. Awesome. Undefeated in the Ultimate Fighter. First question for you is, Uriah, can you confirm that you won the knockout bonus for the season? Has Uncle Dana cut you the check yet or told you?
No, I cannot confirm anything that I won the knockout of the season. Nothing has been confirmed to me.
All right. Yeah. Well,
I don't know.
I would guess that you did indeed take it home. I mean, there is absolutely no doubt, Uriah. You are the beast of tough that was rumored, that Dana White spoke about leading up to the show's premiere. And you clearly stood out as the dominant fighter of the season. Because of your fight with Dylan Andrews, like, the show, the whole season ended like a damn movie would, like, with you finishing, like, from the bottom at the last few seconds dramatically. So I just have to say, I got to keep it real here. I think your last fight was scripted, Uriah, and by that I mean I don't think it was a work, but I think you had so much control of the match that you let him take you down, just like you let Ronda take you down in that YouTube video, and you had that whole last minute reversal planned out. Am I right, or was I just a little too high earlier when I watched the episode? What's the word on the street?
The word on the street is. I was actually, I don't want to make excuses. I mean, he really got in tight, but my right arm was messed up. I think less than a week before, and I couldn't really do much. I felt horrible throwing a punch, you know. So when he got in, you know, I couldn't really dig deep to pull him up. You know, I didn't really have any strength, so I was like, all right, whatever. Let me just go to the floor. And then he got me, and then I held on to the Kimura, but I couldn't pull it because, again, I had no strength in that arm. And then I just kind of waited, and at one point I was like, what the hell am I doing? Let me just posture up and punch. And it worked.
Nice. Yeah, it did work. And wow, that was, I think that was even, you know, the knockouts are one thing. But that's probably your most impressive fight for me because it, you know, we finally saw that you are well-rounded. I mean, even in ways that we didn't expect, finishing a guy from who was in a dominant position, reversing it at the last few seconds, that was crazy, man. Now, the thing is, like, I've been interviewing Coach Jamie Huey. He's been on the show co-hosting with me every week. But, like, you know, I've got to ask you, Coach, how hard was it keeping things like this a secret to yourself, like knowing that Team Dark Side won, knowing that you know, Uriah Hall was the beast, keeping it from us the entire time on this show. I'd just like to get a quick victory speech from you if we could. Like, how did it feel to coach the winning team?
I mean, it felt great, man. As far as keeping it a secret, I kind of had a little, my thing was, I shook Dana White's hand and I told him, I gave my word that I wasn't gonna spill the beans on the show and spoil it, just like everybody else did. So it was important to me that I kept my word. As far as you know, keeping it a secret, man, I figured, you know what, anybody that was watching the show, I wouldn't want to ever ruin the experience of them going through it every Tuesday with us. So I would never spoil it. And then as far as people that weren't watching the show, I would never tell, because if they're not even going to invest the time to watch a show, what the hell would I tell them? So it wasn't hard. And even people close to me, you know, real good friends, some that I'm sitting in the car with right now, I still didn't tell. So it was kind of it was a good experience, I think, for everybody to kind of go through it the same way we did. So it wasn't hard keeping it. As far as coaching the winning team, man, it was really an honor. I mean, these guys came in with a certain skill set. These guys weren't brand new, fresh off the street guys that didn't know how to fight. I mean, these guys all got themselves and their coaches got them to the point of being in the tough house. If we had anything to do with, working through the process and getting them at the end and being successful, then we're honored to say that. But really, a lot of the credit has to go to the guys that worked with them before they even got there.
Well, there's a reason the Team Sun and Team Dark Side won as a whole. I think it was everybody put together. Who knows how things would have been had the teams been different. But the Ninja Larson making his return to the podcast. The Ninja, you are on with Coach Jamie, the Living Legend Huey, and Uriah Hall, dude. What do you have for them?
First of all, Coach Jamie Huey, what's up, brother?
What's happening, man? How are you?
Good. So you said you just talked to Dana White. Well, I've got a little beef with Mr. Dana White that I was going to express on the show. So I want you to turn that car around, go back to wherever the hell you just came from, and ask Dana White why in the hell Danger Waffles was not on the show at all.
That's true. He wasn't. Chills,
you know, Danger Waffles, for those that don't know, obviously, is Chael's dog. He was not on the show. There was actually an incident where Danger Waffles got loose, and he attacked several people, leaving them critically injured in the hospital. It was a big scandal that we tried to keep under the table. The media had it, but we had to bribe some people to keep it down. You know, yes, there was a conspiracy. No, I'm not really at liberty to talk about it, though.
Oh, no. Okay.
All right. I'll let that one go. I'll let that one go for the sake of Danger Waffles and in his good name. I don't want to sully his good name.
Damn straight. You got something for Uriah
Hall? Yeah, Uriah Hall. What's up, dude?
What's going on, man?
So, like, my question for you is, you know, you're the beast of the show. You were the one that everybody was afraid of from, like, your first week. And you know, they really did not want to fight you. And, you know, psychologically, you had them beat, you know, before they even fought. Were you aware of that at the time of your fights? I mean, did you know?
I was not really aware of it at all. I felt a lot of ego transition around the house and all that stuff, but I wasn't aware that I was putting fear in people's head or putting fear on people. You know, I was just there for the competition and just watching from this angle, like, oh shit, really that happened? But, you know, at the given time that it happened, you know, I'm on the show, you know, drama's going to happen because we're in a closed environment. And, you know, even like, you know, me and Josh, you know, we might have had a dispute or whatever. Looking at it now, it's like, what the hell, man? Whatever, it's over with, you know. Don't hate the guy. You know, he had a plan. His plan was to make it to the finale. And I guess some people are like, oh, he's being a bitch or whatever. You know, he's being very strategic, and I can't be mad at that. I just went out there to, you know, smash the best guys or try to. That was my game plan, and, you know, he had a game plan too. So it was just a growing experience. I'm very happy, you know, the outcome. Even going up against Kelvin, you know, it's a bittersweet. I'm happy that we both made it, but at the same time, you know, it's like, fuck, got to fight the guy on my team. So it's whatever.
Yeah. Hey, Uriah, you mentioned, sorry, I just totally blanked, man. I'm talking to Uriah Hall here. This is crazy, man. This is crazy, dude. I follow you on Twitter, and I noticed that during the show, as it was airing, sometimes you would tweet a little something about how you thought the editing was kind of a little goofy and they misrepresented you. Now that the show's over, do you feel that you came across the way you really are, or did they kind of paint you as somebody that you're not?
I mean, even, you know, doing all that, I spoke to Chell about it. He was like, listen, you know who you are. That's important. Your friends know who you are. That's important. And, you know, I just kind of calmed down. It's like when you get a bad message on Twitter, you know, you want to answer all of them because you want people to like you. But yeah. It's like, I don't give a shit, man. You either like me or you don't. And, you can't really change the world, but you can change that person there. And that's what I'm focused on. I know myself. You know, I'm not an asshole. I'm not a bully. You might have came across, but you can't judge me because in a situation like that, it's a pressure cooker, man. And, you know, some people are going to come off a certain way or whatever, but people are always going to have their opinions. That's all they can have. Unless they've gone through it, they can't really say nothing. So, quite frankly, I don't give a shit.
Yep, and nobody's got shit to say to you now, man. Definitely, man. That is nuts what you're doing here. Jake from the MMA Podcast. We're trying to barrel through these questions as quickly as possible, guys. So, Jake, you are on with Coach Jamie Huey and Uriah Hall, man. What do you got? What's the word on the street?
Definitely. What's up, guys? I got a couple questions for both of you. We'll start off with Jamie. First off, you know, UFC 159 is this month, April 27th in Newark. You know, you've trained a lot of other guys like Mike Pierce for fights, but this training camp for Chael going into the John Jones fight, how is it unique compared to other training camps you've done in the past?
We have a lot of guys up for the show, and obviously because of the relationships that were formed, filming, we had a really close group of guys. I think we really worked hard, but we had a little bit more fun in this camp than we did in the past camps, like with the Anderson Silva fights, for instance. We got the work done that we needed to get done for this, but at the same time, I think we enjoyed it a little bit more than it just was a grind. So it feels different going into this fight with John than it did with Anderson. And I think, April 27th, that's going to show because, you know, so much of this sport is mental. I mean, it's obviously physical as far as staying healthy and doing what you need to do. But really, you see, even watching the show, you see the guys deal with the stress and, you know, Uriah used the word pressure cooker. It's a great analogy for what it was. I think Chael going in there with the having the work done, but enjoyed this whole experience more. I think April 27th we're going to see a whole different version of Chael in the cage.
For sure. Yeah, I wanted to pose the next question to both of you. I'll start off with you, Jamie, because I just asked you a question. You know, the season's over now and you don't need to worry about confidentiality clauses and all of that. You can say whatever you want. But during the season, was there anything in particular you were just itching to tell somebody about?
I don't know, man. There's all sorts of stuff. You know, I could give you the real scoop on Uriah's ice bath. I mean, there's great stories, man. I got great stories about Kelvin. We great stories about, you know, about Clayton. I mean, we all just, man, I wish it wasn't a 1 hour show every Tuesday, because there was so much great stuff that got left out. So, you know, to be honest with you, answer that question, I wouldn't even know where to start, man. But there's tons of stuff.
Definitely,
it was a hell of an experience.
Definitely, yeah. The same question to you, Uriah. You know, if I was in your spot, I would be telling all my boys, hey, tune in next Friday. I'm going to do this crazy kick, knock a dude out cold. It's going to be awesome. Just watch. Did you have any moments where you really wanted to, you know, tell a spoiler or two to somebody?
No, no, not at all. I mean, a lot of people keep asking, oh, what happened? I'm like, dude, watch the freaking episode. Why do I want to spoil it? Why do you want to know why? It's like watching the movie. I'm like, hey, man, tell me what happens at the end. Watch the freaking movie. Enjoy it. Of course, I didn't say it in that tone. I just said, hey, just keep watching. But no, I didn't, you know, in a good way.
For sure. Last question before we open up the phone lines. Uriah, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. Ever since the first Tough, I've followed the show. You know, I don't think I've watched every episode of every season, but for the most part, I've followed most season, if not every season. And you've put together not only the best KO in Tough history, but probably the most impressive season in Tough history. You know, you've fought elite guys before, but did you have any idea before the show that you were going to be so successful in the Tough House?
Absolutely not. I had no idea. And so the first fight, you know, I had in there, there was a lot of nerves. I mean, Andy Enns is a tough dude, man, and I get tattooed with a lot of stuff that kept coming. But throughout the fight, I just, you know, grasped more control, and that's what Chael was able to do. You know, I felt like in the short period of time that I was there, anything physical, I don't think I would be able to grasp it that well. But the mental training and the mental aspect of it was definitely the focus I was looking for, and Chael, you know, definitely got me to that stage where it was just easy for me to, you know, being in control of my potential. And going out there, I was more relaxed. You know, I used to think about the outcome, and now I was more focused on performance. What can I do in that small, you know, period of time? And I guess it just made me, focus and pretty much perform well. So it was a great experience.
Definitely, definitely. I guess that does it for my questions. Thanks again for coming on. I mean, really, you are one of the most exciting fighters I've seen in my entire life, and I'm really looking forward to following you in the future. I guess I'll pass it back off to Ramses to pop open the phone lines.
Thank you. Yes, we are going to go. We have just a couple questions that came in from Twitter for you guys before we wrap this up. But there was one person that insisted. He said Twitter wasn't good enough. He insisted on calling in. He is also from Queens. He is a big fan of Team Darkside, Team Sun, and his name is Yao, a.k.a. The Truth. He is an amateur, aspiring fighter. He trains. He's getting ready for his first fight this year. Obviously, you know, he was dying to come on and ask a question for Uriah here. So without further ado, Yao, you are on with Uriah Hall right now, son. What do you got? What's the word on the street?
Hey, guys. Hey, Uriah. How you doing?
What's up, Yao?
Hey, excuse me if I, like, you know, stutter or whatever. I'm, like, really nervous. But
don't be nervous, man. I'm the same guy. I'm the same guy from Queens. The difference is the TV in front of you. That's it.
Yep.
All right, cool. Yeah, I am from Queens, New York, actually. I train over in Fresh Meadows. And I'm going to fight this year, my first amateur fight. And I really want to fight professionally, not just to, you know, just to fight or whatever, but to win like a world championship. But I've heard that the most feasible way to get into the UFC is through the Ultimate Fighter. And I just wanted to know if you had like any advice at all for me, for younger fighters coming up, because like watching you on the show was really like an inspiration to see guys from my neighborhood, from my area, from my city go in, especially like you, and not only fight, but perform the way you did. So do you have anything you can offer?
Absolutely, man. For me, it was just following my dream, you know? Even being on the show, I couldn't believe I was doing it. It was my dream that I was actually doing, and I have to kind of grasp all those emotions and try to control it. You know, you want to be a fighter, and as a fighter, you're always going to question yourself. You're always going to have those bad days, those doubts, and it's like poison, man. So I look at it like boxing, you know, it's like 12 rounds. You got to win every round. So for every day of the, you know, the year or every day of the month, you have to fight, you know. You have to fight yourself to make it to the next level. You have to fight yourself to want to push a little harder. You have to fight yourself to give yourself another round. You have to fight yourself not to defeat yourself. It's a constant struggle. And, you know, I'm still fighting. And it was just believing in myself, which, you know, even when I didn't have the right support, I still believe in myself. I tried to. I didn't know how to quit. It was not something I was taught, and I'm glad I wasn't taught, you know, how to quit. And I just kept pushing, man. I kept fighting. And, you know, I heard do a lot of quotes, a lot of, you know, inspirational themes and stuff like that. And sometimes it hits home, and sometimes it doesn't. And sometimes you just find this one thing that will just stick with you. And for me, it was just motivating myself. I realized that, you know, you can't get motivation, you know, sometimes from people or special quotes. You got to get up and do it. You know, you have to make it happen. And when I go in the ring, you know, I'm there by myself. I'm doing it alone. It's me. And it's actions. And I think that's what Chael was trying to teach me, that, you know, those emotions are fake. Those emotions are not going to help you. You know, it's action. It's making that transition. It's making that step. It's actually starting. It's working your ass off. It's not quitting and never giving up. So it's definitely a bunch of combination of things, but it's the biggest thing I can tell you is to, you know, don't quit, man. Just keep pushing, keep fighting.
Nice. Now, Yao, you can now officially say that for this upcoming first fight of yours, you were coached by Uriah Hall. All right, that counts. That counts, man. That was awesome, dude. I'm gonna start fighting now because of that, dude. Thanks, Uriah. Thanks for taking that call, dude.
No problem, man. Anytime.
Yeah, for real, dude. I feel like I need to go do sprints on my block now or something. Shit.
When I post the podcast, I'll fucking use some Rocky music under that. That was awesome, dude. Jake, I think you had a couple questions that came in through Twitter. We'll get through them real quick before we just end this thing.
Certainly got a few questions from the Twitter mailbag to the tough beast Uriah Hall. The first one is from Lorenzo Torres. He's at Twitter at Low Animal, and this is talking about those videos that came out on YouTube recently of you grappling with Ronda Rousey, and he wanted to ask if you were going to work with Ronda in the future to add some more judo to your arsenal.
Yeah, absolutely, man. If I ever get a chance to work with Ronda, that would be great. You know, when she came on the show, she I know she was a judo Olympian. She was really good at what she did. But I said, man, if I can, you know, learn from this girl and, you know, get anything from her, I can set my game up. And, you know, I roll with her, she kicked my ass, and I know everyone blew that out of the contest. See, Ronda Rousey fucked your eye up, and I'm like,
work.
Dude, I was just saying she beat me up.
It was a work.
But, yeah, but you know what? She's a champ, man, and I really admire her for, you know, just the way she carried herself. I mean, she told me some story where she even been in a car accident because she was so busy working and training and just traveling and back and forth where she didn't have time to sleep. And the one thing that stuck with me was when she said that her mom grabbed her and said, you know, no one has a right to beat you. No one. And it just kind of made me say that, you know, sometimes I'm not going to have the best training camp, and she said it too, and sometimes you're going to feel like the person's, you know, got more than you, and you have to fuel off that to say, you know, I'm still going to beat you no matter what. I'm still going to come out on top. And, you know, I just really admire her for even saying that. And, of course, you know, I admire for what she's done so far, especially for the women in MMA, man. She took it to a whole other level, and she's so confident about it. It's scary, you know. Like, I feel sorry for anybody to go up against her because we know what's going to happen. It sucks to know what's going to happen, and you can't do anything about it. So I really admire her for that, and, you know, she's an awesome friend too.
Yeah, you know what's going to happen, and you know it's probably going to happen in less than a minute. That's got to be scary. Yeah, it's got to be really scary. We also have a couple of Twitter questions from Alexis P. Sonnen. She wanted to ask, if you could face any top middleweight, who would it be and why? And I'll go ahead and add a little extra caveat. It, you know, it can't be for the title. You know, what you know, I know, you know, your only two losses come to guys who are at the top of the UFC 185-pound class now. You know, do you want to fight those guys? Is there any, you know, anyone else in the division
you'd like to fight? What Jake is asking, Uriah, is whose ass do you think you could beat in the UFC?
Well, personally, I don't want to call anyone out, nor would I like to. I don't think anybody is better. I know I'm good at what I can do, and to go up against the best right now, I'm looking at, if I go up against someone that's, you know, at a higher level, like any one of those guys, any one of those top 10, you know, contenders, it will be an honor, you know, because I just want to grow. That's how I look at it. I don't want to live up to anyone's expectation and say, oh, man, can Uriah kick this guy? I'm not feeding into anything like that. I'm just looking to grow as a martial artist. And whoever they put in front of me, you know, I'm going to do my best to beat him. But ultimately, I'm just looking to grow. I'm just looking to get better. I'm in a total different mindset now, you know, than I was a few years ago. I know I got beaten by Weidman and Costa, and I'm not going to make excuses. Those guys, you know, they were the better man that day, and, you know, they caught me. They had me. But where I am right now, I can't even tell you how confident. I'm so confident it's scary. I scare myself sometimes, but you know, I'm ready, man. I'm ready for war. I'm ready for everybody you put in front of me. And I promise you it's going to be a show. It'll call me prime time for none.
Yeah, you are not the only person you are scaring. You looked really, really good in this season of Tough. And personally, I'm really glad I'm not a fighter in the UFC's middleweight class because yeah, I would not want to step into the ring with you under any circumstances.
No, man. Only for self defense.
We have one final question before we zip up the mailbag, and this is also from Lexi Natalia on Twitter, 3A's. She wants to know what you feel like are some of Kelvin's strengths and weaknesses. You will be fighting Kelvin Gastelum for the Tough 17 championship this Saturday.
She's just going to run and tell Kelvin all this, whatever he says.
But yeah, I think
Uriah might have dropped off, actually.
I think he's lost, yes. Let me pass my phone to him to answer that question.
He didn't want to give up the game plan.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. This is how you rig a podcast. Hello? Up. Yeah, you're right.
Hey, sorry, Uriah, what's up?
We were mid-question. No, it happens, man. Jacob, what was the question real quick?
Yeah, the final Twitter question we got for tonight. What do you feel are some of Kelvin Gastelum's strengths and weaknesses?
That's the thing with Kelvin, man. Kelvin, you know, doesn't really have any weaknesses. The kid is an animal, you know. He's getting better every single time that he fights, you know. And I'm sure a lot of people saw him as the underdog. And, you know, I think Kelvin coming in to fight me, he's going to bring everything, man. He's a tough kid. And sometimes, you know, when you have, like, a lot of stuff that you're fighting for, you know, I'm sure he's fighting for his family, for a better life and all that, that's going to fuel him. I mean, I could say that, you know, from watching him, he's great at the ground stuff. You know, he's a wrestler. He's definitely going to come in. He's going to keep the pressure on me. He's going to try to take out my element. I recently found out about myself as a striker, and, you know, I have no problem saying it. I can hit from any position, man. You get my back, I'm going to hit you. You grab my toe, I'm going to hit you. Nice. I can hit you from any position. So I feel pretty confident going against Dustin. I think it's going to be all-out war. I don't know what's going to happen. I have no really, you know, good prediction because I'm looking to just have some fun. But I know Kelvin's going to come at me because this kid has heart, man. But I'm pretty confident in my abilities, man. I know I'm fast. I know I'm fast. I know I'm strong. I know I'm very agile. I know I'm sharp. I know I'm technical. So having all this and, of course, you know, having the confidence behind it, I think it's going to make me into a, you know, a lethal weapon. But at the same time, I cannot underestimate any fighter.
For sure. It was a pleasure chatting with you, Uriah. Thank you so much for coming on. I'll pass it back off to Ramses.
Yes, yeah, you're
no
right.
Problem, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're right. We just have two more quick questions. The last tweet is actually...
Yeah, that's fine. Don't worry.
Yeah, speaking of the devil, the last tweet that we have for you did come in from Kelvin Gastelum.
No way.
Yes, it did. Believe it. And he is putting you on the spot, and so are we.
Hopefully
we'll be able to help you out here. I asked him, you know, if he had any ridiculous questions or comments for you, and he did. He replied with LOL, ask him to do his Coming to America voice. Now I will also mention that I asked Nick the cameraman from The Ultimate Fighter the same, you know, if he had anything for you. He also mentioned that you do an African foreign exchange student voice. So we were wondering if we could get you to invoke that voice, and just in case you're a little bit uncomfortable here, I just want to show you that we are willing to give in and get. Jake from the MMA podcast has a dope ass impression of GSP, I believe. GSP, are you there on the line?
I cannot confirm nor deny such report.
You're on with Uriah Hall, GSP. Do you think you would ever fight Uriah Hall, GSP? What's up?
I do not think I would want to step in an octagon cage with Tough Beast.
Uriah, do you get that Coming to America voice? Is it true, or are these guys just blowing smoke up our asses here on the Word in the Street?
Yes, I am very excited to be here on the broadcast show. It has been a great privilege, and I just love the way GSP is and how he is as a fighter. He has been doing such a great job, and he goes out there with his good one, and he dominates fight. He does really well. But you know, where I am from, Sultani King of Zamunda, I know how to really fight, so I will take him any time he wants.
I do appreciate your impression, but I do not think you know how dark I can get inside my head sometime, Mr. All.
GSP and Uriah Hall doing the Coming to America voice. Uriah Hall letting his soul glow, feeling oh so silky smooth up in the Word on the Street podcast. Nice, Uriah. Thanks, man.
That was good. You know what? You gotta get Kelvin to do his what do you call it? Scarface impression. He does that so well. I think they cut it out when me and him were having a little conversation in the car. Yeah. He's like, hey, fuck you, man. I'm like, don't do that. It was so funny, man. If you ever get us together again, we will do it. You better do it because you made me do this show.
I will have him back on just to do that. Oh, man, if he started doing that to you in the middle of the fight, man, would that throw you off, or are you that concentrated?
Hey, fuck you, man. You punch like a girl, man. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
That would be the shit, man. Hopefully he won't bust that out on you. Okay, this is the absolute last question for Uriah Hall, and this is the question that we ask every guest that's ever been on the Word on the Street podcast. So far every guest no guest has ever picked John Jones to win at UFC 159. Now, Uriah Hall, I just got to ask you, well, actually, Gilbert Smith, he flaked. He gave the flakiest answer ever. He refused to pick John Jones or Chael Sonnen. So it's now your turn, Uriah Hall. UFC 159 coming up April 27th, the Battle of Jersey for all the marbles, the championship fight, Chael Sonnen versus John Jones. What is your honest, no bullshit prediction? Who do you got to win the fight? How do you see it going?
My honest, no bullshit prediction of mm-hmm. who I want to win the fight is, I just want to see a good fight, man.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
I'm going to be honest. You know what? I hang out with both of them, you know, on and off, and they're both very, very interesting guys. You know, I love hanging with Chael. I've hung out with Jones. They're both awesome, man, and they're both awesome at what they do. Chael, you know, before I even knew him personally, I used to say, man, this guy is so funny. He's like, oh, he's actually a really nice guy. Like, off the camera, he's a generally great guy, and I train with them. You know, I can't say nothing bad about him. John Jones, I didn't really hang out with him that much, but for the small times that I hung out with him, he's a great guy. He's funny. He's really down to earth. So for me, you know, I can't really pick. You know, I can look at it and say, oh, well, Chael has this wrestling. I can't do that because I don't really know the future, and I was taught to never focus on the outcome, you know? So
yep.
I just want to see a really, really good fight, and I think that's what's going to happen.
All right. We'll let you skate just like we let Gilbert skate, I guess. but yeah, I mean, everyone wants it to be a competitive, awesome fight, definitely. So yeah, hopefully it will. Hopefully it will be, man. Uriah, just real quick, we did because he got cut off. He just wanted to pop right back on. He was dying to just actually say thanks. Yeah, one more time, say thanks to Uriah before we wrap this podcast up, dude.
Yes, Uriah, thank you so much for what you said earlier. I really appreciate it.
No problem, man. I'm glad I can help,
bro. Awesome. Definitely. Uriah, how can the fans reach you and contact you? Or, you know, what can they check out about you? You know, the people, you know how the people are. Some people are going to talk shit to you, of course, on the Twitter. But how can people that want to actually interact with you like a human being reach you?
It's at Uriah Hall MMA. And I do have a Facebook fan page, Uriah.primetime.hall. That's pretty much it, man. My regular Facebook, to tell you the truth, I can't even check that thing. I have so much messages. But you know, I take time to go through them because I've been getting a lot of, you know, even inspirational messages that, you know, I'm inspiring people. And to me, that's just the great part about this, man. It's not really the fame or spotlight and all that. I'm just so happy that, you know, I can help others to change their lives or to help motivate them to get them out of that dark spot, you know. And someone was telling me the other day that, you know, I remind them of that song where it says, starting from the bottom, now we're here, you know. And
yeah,
it just makes me feel really good that I can help someone else.
Definitely, man. Yeah, you definitely, I'm sure Yaz's not going to forget this call for one. And, man, you are some weird type of next level fighter that we've never seen before, man. And I just can't wait to see how it goes Saturday. Good luck to you. Thank you for coming on the show. Definitely. Hopefully you'll be back on again sometime. I'm looking forward to seeing what you do in the UFC because no matter what happens on Saturday, you are going to be there. And we always have your back here on the Word on the Street, man. Thank you so much. And
really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem, man. And hopefully if the coach Jamie, the living legend Huey's still around there, we could say goodbye to him real quick. And then, we'll send this podcast out. You there, Jamie?
Yeah, I'm here, brother.
Awesome. Yeah, man, thanks for setting this one up. Thanks for being on again, dude. Real quick, man, how are you feeling about Saturday's fight?
I've had mixed emotions, man. You know, these are my guys, man. I fucking love both of these guys. And, you know, on one hand, I had the same conversation with Uriah that I've had with Kelvin is, you know, if this was a basketball game, we would just figure, well, the best basketball player will go out there and win. If it was hockey or whatever sport it was, it would just be a competition. Because it's a fight, people kind of get a little bit more emotional about it. But the truth of the matter is it is a competition. We knew exactly what we were signing up for when we decided to do this. So we're going to stand by what it was that we agreed to do. These guys are going to go back out there and you know, we're going to shake hands and we're going to remain to be a family when it's all said and done. But I'm proud of both of these guys, man. I can't say enough good things. And for me, it was just an honor to be a part of it. And then Ramsey Salz, I want to thank you, man. You've done a hell of a job. You guys, Jake and Ninja, through this whole process of the podcast, man.
Awesome.
This has been a lot of fun. I hope we do it again. And then the last shout out I want to give to is, Uriah said, made a good point earlier, you know, Adam Entz that didn't get in the house was the only guy to go the distance with Uriah Hall in the house. Keto Andrews was the only guy to go the distance in the mm-hmm. house with Kelvin. So
wow.
I would like to see both of these guys get an opportunity, either fight each other or fight somebody else to get in the UFC, because these guys both brought it, and had maybe they different opponent to get in the house, these guys would have been there with the season as well. So I think it's important that we give a shout out to those guys as well.
Damn good point. Hell yeah. Yeah, shout out to them. Coach, and thank you for the kind words. Hopefully, we'll be able to keep this going. Hopefully, next Tuesday, we'll be able to talk about the fights that just went down, that are going down on Saturday. Hopefully, you'll be on because one of our co-hosts for next Tuesday, if you're going to be around, is going to be none other than Front Row Brian from Twitter fame and behind the scenes in MMA.
Yeah.
Yeah, so hopefully you'll be on for that. We'll be able to talk about the fights that just went down. And basically, we're going to be starting the hype for UFC 159. It's going down. Coach Jamie Huey, good luck on the fights. Hopefully you'll keep in touch. Feed us some behind-the-scenes rumors, shit talk, nonsense, everything, pictures. We're counting on you for this, dude.
Absolutely, brother. I got you.
Excellent. And with that, we will wrap it up. The Word on the Street podcast. Thank you to Coach Jamie, the living legend, Jamie Huey, and Uriah Hall, the tough beast. Thanks also to Jake from the MMA podcast, Ninja Larson, and our guest caller, Yao. We'll send it off now. Yep, this will end the conference call. Thanks to everyone, and good night. It's the Word on the Street, guys. Goodbye.